Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick. And let's take a music break now here on The Takeaway. Listen with me to the Afrobeat sound of Antibalas. Antibalas has been on the scene for almost two decades, bringing their mix of jazz, funk, and improvisation to audiences all over the world. They follow in the footsteps of other Afrobeat legends like Fela Kuti. Fela Kuti was an activist, never shied away from politics, and neither does Antibalas. They've got a new album coming out tomorrow. It's called Where the Gods Are at Peace. A couple of members of Antibalas dropped by our studios here at The Takeaway. I sat down with Duke Amayo. He's the lead singer and percussionist, and also founder Martin Perna. We talked about the band's music and its meaning in this moment.
If we truly are mindful in the society we live in, we would always look out for our fellow brothers and sisters. A weird place to be, but as well as an opportunity to actually step up and do things that you've been preaching about, you know. So I think we are at a place now where we are actually activating all the things that we've been talking about for years.
There's so much opportunity to make conflict, you know, Twitter. It's really kind of the urge to pick a fight with someone about something that ruffles you and irks you. It's so easy to do these days. It's kind of irresistible, and so like Amaya was saying, what can we do as artists to try to refocus, starting with ourselves, something away from conflict? Because it kind of seems like if the world just keeps on going with Twitter fights and internet battles and then real world battles, that's not sustainable. It's going to be a very ugly end for all of us. As people who are creative, we need to get our imaginations working and try to think of different ways to frame. Like, tomorrow doesn't need to look like today.
Duke, this is Gold Rush. What are you going for here?
Let's go back and identify where things went wrong, or where we even are aware that things were going wrong. We basically just roll with our punches, roll with what was happening at that time, and, you know, then it became a thing, you know, and that thing grew into the system we have today, which is kind of like now starting to ask us to look back at, you know, where we came from.
The gold rush you're talking about here, yeah. 1500s, treatment indigenous of indigenous communities.
Yes. Indigenous peoples have seen so much of this sort of, you know, like in terms of that way, we open our arms to welcome you and all we get back is what's happening today.
That was a moment that a whole new utopic world could have been created of harmony. But there was an ethnocentrism of these people are savages, they don't know how to exploit, you know, all these riches that are around them. It's scary thinking about if the next 200 years are as violent and as bloody and as uncertain as the past 200 years. It's really scary because now we have the technology to, it's all happening so much faster, and then the environmental problems that exacerbate all the consequences of that. So it's a really scary moment, I think.
Extra, extra! Truth is golden, shines forever. In the 1800s, there was a cowboy named Coloma from a town called Gold Town, now Ghost Town. Coloma asked Chief Two Eagles, where did we go wrong?
This is about the long arc of injustice that you guys see. Let's listen to Hook and Crook.
I went from Lagos to Badagry. I came upon a crossroad. To my left was permaculture, and to my right was a path of no return. So I meditated, feel the ancestors, as I soared up Kilimanjaro to gain an outworldly perspective. I realized I must detach from crooked hooks.
Basically, democracy began when the Portuguese and the British came in, realized how efficient the society was functioning and how the roads were, like, very easy to get through. At the same time, it expressed a certain kind of openness, and that openness was taken advantage of. The openness was, basically same thing we had with the Gold Rush. You know, you're open to like the exchange of ideas become exchange of violence, you know, basically.
I'll tell you the way in for me, for your music, guys, was when you started doing David Byrne. And you played a little bit of his Afrobeat. He's got a long history of it, Talking Heads, and then in his solo career. That's just, I'm just one person, but for me, that was the way in to Antibalas.
I mean, that's the interesting thing about Afrobeat is that there were, even from the, dating back to 1969, Fela Kuti and his group were in L.A. for 6 nights a week for 6 months, playing in Hollywood. So that was this whole interchange of music. James Brown's musical arranger was going to see him. Stevie Wonder was checking him out. Sly and the Family Stone. So that was a really exciting point when Fela's music changed and American music changed. And we're sort of the result of that many years later.
But Fela came and seeded it almost in America at that point, at that gig, that six-month gig in L.A.
In a sense. And I think also he was playing a much jazzier form. Shorter compositions, much jazzier, and not as politicized. And that changed after his trip to the United States. The structure of the music has both discipline and freedom. There are parts that are pretty much always the same or very similar, and then other parts that are very elastic and unpredictable. One of the hardest things for us, I think, has been with the radio form, where most songs that are over 4 minutes don't get a full play. And the form of Afrobeat is a long-form music. You know, it's the difference between a New Yorker article and a 350-page book about the same subject. And we're, like, pop music is the article, and we're, you know, our songs are like the book about something.
I think you were a little bit generous to pop music there. I'm not sure if it's a I'm not sure if it's a New Yorker article. It might be a BuzzFeed list. I don't know. Yeah.
But as far as how deep you can get into a subject, if you only have, like, 2-3 8-bar verses and 2 choruses, you're not really, it's going to be much more harder to kind of win over the audience, to bring them in, to kind of get them into this emotional state. And so much about Afrobeat is this kind of trance hypnotism, but also like a musical foreplay.
Antibalas came out pretty hard politically during the George W. Bush years. What about now? How are you feeling about politics now?
We started during Clinton, and we were really critical of Clinton. We've never sort of picked sides as far as parties, and you know, it's more about ideas and values and what is threatening humanity and threatening how we can have chances to be better people.
The way we look at everything, from the way the politics is running today, the way we engage our politicians, not hating, just detox, detach, all that kind of stuff. You know, retooling and retraining is important, because we're retooling and retraining people for computers, but we're not retooling and retraining the political system or the people running the government. You know, they're just trying to take us back to the old ways, you know, rather than look ahead.
The new album is Where the Gods Are at Peace. It's Antibalas. Duke Amayo, lead singer, percussionist, Martin Perna, founder. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Sharp in a digger, follow spirit.
you a push up, go bring plenty, plenty money to build and buy platinum boxes. Hey, akaka, to transport the loot and you. Who, me? Yes, you and you and you and you too. To glimmy, glimmy, gloom town. Glimmy, glimmy, gloom town.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.